I went on to study the Bible seriously. What did it say? Could it be trusted? Well, I started from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. And right there in chapter 1, verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That means that the point of view of the Genesis creation account in Genesis 1 is not from outer space, but from the earth's surface, which changes everything in the science Bible debates, because the Genesis account of creation was given from the point of view of being on the surface of the earth. And only the Holy Spirit could have done that. Day one of creation was a geological time period of 4 billion to 3.5 billion years ago. Let there be light, God says. What happens from the point of view on the surface of the earth is that the light diffuses through these clouds. The sun that was always there from the beginning of the creation was finally visible and photosynthesis could start. From day two, 3.5 to 3 billion years ago, God said, let there be an expanse between the waters. We saw a stable water cycle of rain evaporation begin. On day three, dry ground appeared 3 to 1 billion years ago. Seas, land, vegetation appeared. On day four, 1 billion to 0.5 billion years ago, says, let there be lights in the expanse. Now some people say, well, that contradicts the first day when there was light. Well, the point here is that gases and water molecules cleared enough for the sun and moon to be visible. Again, the account is from the point of view of the surface of the earth, and this is how it would have seen. So the lights appeared. In day five, 500 to 50 million years ago, the water teemed with living creatures. We had animals starting to rise up, great creatures of the sea, birds and such. On the sixth day, 500 million to 10,000 years ago, livestock, we had dinosaurs, hominids, humans, all these other human-like creatures. And the Bible doesn't talk extensively about dinosaurs because they are not core and central to the reason Genesis was written, which is to give human beings the origins of where they came from and where God was taking them. Dinosaurs were just among the many creatures, none of whom God mentioned specifically. There are far too many. And these days, these time periods, are in complete synchronization with what science tells us. And we've also found through science, and as the Bible differentiates man from animal, that the DNA of humans and of other human-like creatures, your Homo erecti and Homo habilis and Neanderthals, are completely different. The DNA structure does not match. And there is not that evolutionary link that has been sought after or presumed by many. The Bible says that God has created us in His own image. God's core image is that of a spirit, and this essentially is what sets human beings aside from the other animals, far more than intelligence or appearance. We have a spiritual nature, and this also has been demonstrated archaeologically throughout the millenniums, that human beings have always worshipped something. The cave drawings from thousands of years ago depict human life then and the worship of the natural world, because humans were given a spirit and crave the worship of something. So could I really trust this text? Well, if you were to compare it with other ancient texts, for example, in antiquity, the most commonly copied and distributed and read work was Homer's Iliad, written about 900 BC. We have about 643 copies in existence of the ancient documents. Homer's Iliad had about a 5% variance rate on its accuracy. The New Testament alone, on the other hand, this is not even counting the Dead Sea Scrolls and the many, many documents of the Old Testament, but just the New Testament itself has over 24,000 documents compared to Homer's 643. You add the Old Testament and it's hundreds of thousands. The New Testament variance rate on accuracy is not 5%, it's 0.5%, meaning that it is incredibly more accurate than even the second most accurate ancient document we have. And those 0.5% variances have nothing to do with any doctrines of the Bible whatsoever. They're all mechanical errors or matters of style. So I had to conclude, that whether I believed the Bible or not, I had to admit that it was accurate to the original text as it was written and passed down. So what I'm reading the Bible is what was actually written and not concocted or changed in the meantime. Archaeology gives us so much proof of Bible places, people, and events. And it's almost amusing to me, as one would look through history, many, many times people have said that certain cities never existed, certain people never existed, certain events never took place. And again and again and again, archaeologists have found that biblical cities did exist, biblical battles did occur, biblical kings, prophets, and such really did happen from the time of Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, all the way down to Jesus and the crucifixion and the New Testament church. Sources outside of the Bible have repeatedly, on every occasion, in every question, verified that these places, peoples, and events, in fact, were in existence and did happen, as the Bible tells us. I was shocked, as I read the Bible, at how honest it was. No covering up famous people to make them seem great. No trying to convince me, the reader, about anything that was untrue. Everyone's warts and pimples and sins and problems are there in clear view. I'd never seen another sacred book that was so brutally honest and even embarrassingly honest about the way that many of its heroes and peoples lived. And it struck me that the Bible had nothing to hide and nothing it was particularly trying to promote in any dishonest way. I was also impressed with how honest the Bible was with me, with my own human condition, admitting that, you know, we really can't get out of this life alive and that I need to be connected with God, I need to change, and I need God's help. I rarely saw that kind of honesty with any other spiritual document. I was impressed with God's judgment on humanity and also with his mercy on those whom he judged, and how God interacted sometimes severely, but always with love and compassion and forgiveness toward those who turned to him, that he maintained justice and righteousness and holiness to the point where humans could not handle it, and yet he always, in his love and mercy, provided a way for those who chose to follow him to do so and to receive that mercy. I'd see these miracles happening throughout the Bible, but by this time, I had personally witnessed a number of healing miracles and had had some of them occur in my own life, and had to admit that if there really is a supernatural creator God, then I have to be open to him being who he is and naturally doing supernatural things in this natural world.